Congregation, our scripture reading this morning is taken from the Gospel according to Mark. The Gospel according to Mark, chapter 1. We read verses 9 through 15. 9 through 15, Mark's Gospel. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." At once the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness. And he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." This is the word of the Lord. Dear congregation, well, it's hard to believe Christmas is 3, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, a month ago. And I'm sure for many folks they've already forgotten there was something like Christmas. You're beginning to look forward to whatever events are ahead in the next month or so. Christmas is so often so quickly forgotten. Because we associate it with the birth of Jesus as a baby in Bethlehem. And that's it. And then we look forward to Easter and whatever comes in the next year for us as Christians. And that brings us this morning to this very interesting part or passage from Mark's Gospel. Now, you'll notice that Mark does not have a Christmas story. There's no baby in a manger, there's no Bethlehem, there are no angels, nothing. In fact, someone once said about Jesus in Mark's Gospel, Jesus in Mark's Gospel is someone who has been enrolled in the Witness Protection Agency. A person without a past. He doesn't seem to have parents or a family. He just comes out of nowhere. In fact, Mark begins his gospel with John the Baptist proclaiming Jesus to the world. And suddenly in verse 9, our scripture passage, we read of how Jesus traveled from Nazareth in Galilee to visit John the Baptist at the River Jordan. And here at the River Jordan, he asks John to baptize him. And as soon as it's done, the Holy Spirit sends Jesus into the desert of all places. And there he spends 40 days being tempted by Satan. And where does he go then? He goes to Galilee. Well, this is Mark's version of the Christmas story. And you may say, well, that's not really much of a Christmas story, is it? It has nothing to do with Bethlehem. Instead, we read of Nazareth and of Galilee at the Jordan River. Places that did not really have fond memories for the Israelites. Because the Jordan River, as you may recall, separated the desert from the promised land. It was through the Jordan River that the Israelites remembered the desert. And then, of course, the desert especially did not have any good memories for the Israelites. Because in the desert, many of them died. If you remember, when they came from Egypt, they spent 40 years in the desert. And also, every year, On the Day of Atonement, the high priest would send a scapegoat into the desert to die for the atonement for Israel's sins. So the desert really was, for Israelites, a place of death. Not a pleasant place to go to. And yet, according to Mark's gospel, this is exactly where Jesus went after he was baptized. Not to Jerusalem, but into the desert. And this is very important to keep in mind, that how Mark emphasizes the fact that the Jordan River really separates the promised land and the desert. Because, my brother and sister, this is where, for Mark, the good news really begins. It doesn't begin in Bethlehem. It doesn't begin in Jerusalem. But it begins in the desert. Not with the angels. Not with the shepherds on the fields of Bethlehem. Not with the wise men. And not with the story of Mary giving birth to a baby. According to Mark's gospel, after Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit sends him into the desert. Not to Jerusalem to become this very famous and very respectable rabbi. After all, that would be logical. I mean, there were no Jews, there were nobody, and there was nobody in the desert. Why not go to Jerusalem, where all the Jews were? That's where you're supposed to start with a kingdom. Doesn't make sense. But he goes to the desert, where nothing but doubt and temptation waits him. Almost like the Israelites were to spend 40 years in the desert to be shaped and molded, to be made ready before they could go into the promised land. So Jesus had to spend 40 days in the desert, according to Mark's gospel, to be prepared for his ministry. And then comes the next surprise. After the 40 days, where does he go? Again, not Jerusalem. But he goes to Galilee. Now, Galilee would be what we would say would be the sticks. It's the backwater. It was a poverty-stricken part of the world. And in fact, my brother and sister, Galilee was mostly pagan country. Not Jewish country. Pagans lived there. The majority of people were non-Jewish. And I wonder if that's perhaps not the reason why we so often and so quickly forget Christmas. Christmas has become, I think for most of us, or for many, not what Christmas really should be. Not really the real Bethlehem. But it's a Christmas card Bethlehem. And it turns away, and I think that's why so many of us enjoy Christmas, because somehow for a part of the year, it makes us forget about the bad things that we've experienced in the year. Everybody's happy, we do a lot of shopping, we get presents. And here in Canada, where it snows sometimes, the world looks so clean and so white. But this morning, Mark's gospel wants to say to us, look elsewhere. Look elsewhere. Look to the desert. Beyond the Jordan River. Look to Galilee. Don't keep your eyes focused on this Anglo-Saxon baby of Christmas cards that we often have in our mind, wrapped in swaddling clothes that look as if they've come from some kind of soap commercial on television. Because that's not the baby, that's not the Jesus that's going to be of any value to you in the coming year. Christmas is gone. The beginning of the year has already started, but there's a whole year, my brother and sister, waiting for us. And is that Christmas story we generally have the one that will carry us through for the rest of this year? That's the question. And that's where Mark's gospel comes in this morning with our scripture passage. Because the Jesus that he wants us to get to know, the Jesus Mark's gospel wants us to get to know this morning, is the one that started his ministry. Not on a Christmas card, but the one that started his ministry in the desert. The desert, the place of terrible temptations and death. He wants us to get to know the Jesus who spent most of his life, all his life on this earth, traveling the dusty roads of Galilee and mingled with outcasts and riffraff. People I'm sure many churches wouldn't even allow through their front door. And you see, that is your and my reassurance this morning. This is the Jesus I can trust with this new year in my life, with whatever this year may bring. Hopefully it will be good things. But it might as well, and we've just heard of someone who had bad news from Nigeria. But the Jesus of Mark's gospel, what Mark is trying to say to us, is the one that we could trust with our sorrows, our fears, our disappointments in this coming year. And where does Jesus start his ministry? In Galilee. That's where he proclaims the good news of God. And it's a very short message. It's a short sermon, very unreformed short sermon. The time has come. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. It's not just any time. The time that Jesus is referring to is not just any time. It is the time of the Messiah, which Paul described so beautifully when he writes to the Galatians, when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman. It's a time that's the beginning of God's kingdom. But Mark wants us to realize that what happened at the Jordan River on that day when Jesus was baptized was not just another event, but was unusual, extraordinary, unique. Because he said that as soon as Jesus came out of the water, he saw heaven opening and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." And then when Jesus goes into the desert where there are wild animals, the angels serve him. And there he defeats the greatest enemy of them all, Satan. And all of this, my brother and sister, was the beginning of God's kingdom. One of the greatest Protestant theologians of the previous century once gave a sermon on this very passage in the Swiss city of Basel in Switzerland. And you know, he didn't give it in one of the amazing, illustrious cathedrals or churches of that city. He gave it in its jail. And he said that the Jesus who once went to Galilee, where so many people did not believe in God, also wants to be in our world today. And what does that mean? It means that this Jesus also wants to be on the streets of our major cities, where even as I speak, there are women selling their bodies to support their drug habit. This Jesus also wants to be in the corridors of our government, where so many of our leaders, unfortunately, are more concerned about staying in power and being politically correct than in serving the interests of the people. This Jesus, also wants to be in the world of big business and corporations, where profit is more important than workers' rights. This Jesus also wants to be in homes that do not resound with laughter, but with the tears of children who are neglected or even abused. This Jesus also wants to be in seniors' home when so many of our seniors are left to their own devices because they've been forgotten by their families and their communities. And you see, my brother and sister, this is why, according to Mark's gospel, this Jesus did not go to Jerusalem, but went to Galilee. And that's why it's the good news. It's the good news. Because it's the news of a new beginning. The beginning of a new heaven and a new earth. The beginning of God's kingdom. And you see, it is this new beginning that makes it possible for people to change. When Jesus proclaims the beginning of the kingdom of God to the people of Galilee, he also appeals to them to repent and believe. Oh, and that is a word our society just does not like. To repent. Now you're being judgmental. You're judging my life because you say I've got to change. And it's certainly not the kind of message we associate with Christmas. Repentance and Christmas? You've got to be kidding me. But that's the message of the kingdom of God. A call to repentance is not merely, oh, I'm sorry. Repentance means changing. Because in Jesus Christ, change is possible. Paul writes, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. This is essentially what Christmas is about. It's a new beginning. True repentance means leaving the old lifestyle behind. The old lifestyle where everything still revolves around me and my interests, my priorities, where I shape everything according to what I like or what I don't like. Yeah, even the church service sometimes. In that old lifestyle, I care about people because of what they can do for me instead of what I can do for them. In that old lifestyle, I sometimes serve God according to what is convenient for me. And oh, I hear that very often with young people at Brock and students who flock to churches where they're only young people. Well, they're going to have a hard time finding that. And I said, do you only join a family because you only got young people in your family? What about grandpa and grandma? Do you ignore them? That's become a sort of tendency these days, only for young people. Because it appeals to my interests. Christmas will not last, my brother and sister, if it's only about celebrating the birth of the Christ child. The Christmas story that will last with us and stay with us throughout this year is the one that Mark's gospel also tells us about. The one that includes always a call to repentance. To take up the new life that's only possible through the Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ. That began with that amazing event in Bethlehem. So many centuries ago, and that's the part and parcel of the kingdom of God. A couple of weeks ago, it's almost 3 weeks ago, we celebrated the beginning of New Year. And for many of us, Christmas is already past. Until it comes around again, around, every year it seems to come earlier. Around November when they start playing Christmas carols in the shopping malls. That's when we start thinking, oh my goodness, we've got to go to buy Christmas presents. But Mark's gospel reminds us this morning that the Christmas story lasts the whole year. That's the good news. And it begins at the Jordan River. It goes into the desert. And then it goes to Galilee. Because that's where Jesus led his life of suffering from the very beginning. His passion was right from the beginning of his life. So that we may have a new life. A new life which he calls us to. And so as we stand a little beyond the threshold of a new year, the first month of a new year, whatever this may bring, good or bad, my brother and sister, this is the news from Mark's gospel. Do not be afraid, because the one who calls us to repent has already gone ahead of us into the new year to make that new life for all of us possible. Amen. Shall we pray? Gracious and merciful God, thank you for the good news. Thank you that as we stand at the beginning of this new year, we need not be afraid, no matter what is going to happen in our life. Because we know you are with us every step of the way, and nothing on earth that we can ever suffer can even come close to what you suffered in the desert and in your life on this earth. And so we can look up to you this morning and say thank you. And pray that you will, through your Holy Spirit, lead us into this year, whatever it may bring. And that even in our darkest moments, we may have your praise on our lips and thankfulness in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. May the mind of Christ, my Savior, is our next hymn.